Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Psalm 139. Our series, we're calling it As You Are because we see in the Psalms that regardless of what psalm we flip to, we find that the psalmist come to the Lord in whatever situation and circumstances in, good or bad, with a thankful heart or a grieving heart or a repentant heart, they are coming to the Lord as they are. We find that once again in this psalm this morning. My prayer as we walk through these psalms the last 2 weeks and in the next couple weeks is this, that we would be reminded of that, that the Lord calls us to come to Him in thanksgiving, to come to Him in confession, to come to Him in worship, and come to Him calling out for help. And in all those circumstances, He calls us to come to Him as we are. And that is a glorious truth of His Word and a glorious truth of the relationship that we have with God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't it? This morning, my prayer for us is that as we look at Psalm 139 is this, is that as Christians, we would be encouraged at the wonderful truth that we find in Psalm 139 that reflects many other places in God's Word, that we would be encouraged, and in the midst of that encouragement, we would be spurred on to worship the Lord because of His love for us, that we would in turn love Him even more. That's my prayer for us, that our hearts, that many of us came to church this morning to gather with our church family full of love for Jesus, for God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. We came full of love for Him. My prayer is that we would leave loving Him even more as a result of studying Psalm 139 this morning. And my prayer for some of us who may be here this morning and don't know the Lord, my prayer is this, that you would hear the truth of God's love for you through Psalm 139. You would hear the truth that His Son came, lived for you, died for you, raised from the dead for you, and that you would turn in repentance and faith to Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sin and eternal life. That's my prayer this morning. So before we even dive into the Word, would you bow your hearts with me and pray? Father, we love You. God, we thank You that we were able to come to this place this morning and gather together and lift our voices together to pray together and to open Your Word together. God, we thank You for the ability and the privilege that that is. Lord, we lift up those who are unable to be with us because of a host of different circumstances. God, we ask that Your Spirit, just as He ministers to us here, would minister to them wherever they are. God, we ask that You would be with those who are grieving the loss of loved ones this morning. We ask that You would make Your presence known to them. God, we ask that as we look at Psalm 139 this morning, that at the end of our time together, God, we would be spurred on to love You more. We would be spurred on to sing of Your praises even more than we already do. And God, for those who are listening with us this morning, or maybe here this morning, that may know about You but don't know You, have yet to give their lives to Jesus, God, we pray that You would work in their hearts and that they would respond for the first time in repentance and faith in Your Son. God, we pray that You would do what only You can this morning. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Psalm 139. So we're going to approach this a bit differently than we usually do. Usually the first thing we do when we open the Word is read the entire passage that we're going to look at. But this morning we're going to read it in pieces and look at pieces of truth that come out of it in each piece. So, are you ready to do that this morning? All right. Psalm 139, we're going to first look at verses 1 through 5. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you knew it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. We could just spend the rest of the day on those five verses, couldn't we? We find in these five verses, if you're following along in your sermon guide, in your bulletin, this, that in Jesus, when we have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus' Son, in Jesus, we have an intimate relationship with our Creator. Look at the words here. Verse 1, you have searched me and known me. He knows us intimately. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. He knows when we do things and what we do. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Wherever we go, the Lord knows where we are. He knows where we're going before we get there. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you knew it altogether. So just as he knows where we're going before we get there, he knows what we're going to say before we say it. It's kind of frightening, isn't it? You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. This is overwhelming truth. So you think of your best moments this week and where you were and what you were thinking, what was coming out of your mouth and what was simply running across your mind. The Lord knew all of those things. You think of your worst moments this past week, what was coming out of your mouth and what was coming across your mind, what you did and did not say, the emotions you felt, the emotions you expressed. The Lord knew all of those things before you felt them or expressed them or thought them or said them. The psalmist says in verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. This reality for some and for all, to a certain extent, should be terrifying. Because there is nothing that God doesn't know about me. There is nothing that God does not know about you. God actually knows me better than I know me. God actually knows you better than you know you. Have you ever come to a point in time and said, I don't even know why I said or did that? Have you ever been there? I've been there lots of times. The Lord knows why we said or did that. He knew it before we said or did it. He knows us intimately. And we have, in Jesus, as Christians, we have an intimate relationship with our Creator. For some, this should be altogether terrifying because this means that apart from Jesus, God, their Creator, knows every piece of them. The good, the bad, the ugly. He knows everywhere they're going to go. The good, the bad, the ugly. Before they even get there, He knows everything they're going to say. The good, the bad, the ugly. And apart from Jesus, they stand as an enemy combatant before God Almighty, which is not a good position to be in, right? But for the believer who has placed faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for the forgiveness of their sins, this should also be altogether comforting. Because the reality is this. Just like the unbeliever, he knows us, and he knows me, and he knows you as individuals. All of our good, all of our bad, all of our ugly. And in spite of that, it is comforting because in spite of his knowledge of us, his intimate knowledge of us, He sent His Son to die in our place. In some relationships, we see people hesitate to really give themselves over in a relationship because they're afraid at some point, if the other person really knows them, they won't really love them. And that is not true for the one who is in Christ. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and He loves us in spite of us. That is good news. We find that in this psalm. But not only that, if we keep reading verses 7 through 12, the psalmist continues, inspired by the Holy Spirit, continues to contemplate just who the Lord is. So He is omniscient. He knows everything, all-knowing. But we continue reading, we find out something else is true of God. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. So not only is our Creator, in whom we have a intimate relationship with in Jesus, our Creator is all-knowing, but He's also present everywhere. Fancy word for this, some of it's going through your minds already. Omnipresent. He is everywhere. Psalmist says, there is nowhere I can flee to get away from you, O God. Nowhere. Verse 8, he mentions heaven. So if we ascend to heaven, the Lord is there, right? And that's good. We would assume that. He goes on to say, if I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead. So I'm separated from this life by death, but not from God. So death does not even separate us from the Lord. We know that from New Testament teaching. We know we will encounter the Lord again after death on this earth at judgment, right? He keeps going. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. This is the picture the psalmist has given us. If you can just see it with your mind's eye, standing on the coast. And you look both directions at the sunrise and you see the sun's light piercing the sky as far as you can see down that way on the coast and as far as you can see down that way on the coast. The wings of the sun, as far as it stretches, the Lord is there. To the uttermost parts of the sea. So if you can stand on the coast and you can look out upon the ocean, as far as you can see, and as far as you can't see, the Lord's presence is there to the uttermost parts of the sea. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. It goes on to say, and this should be great comfort for some of us here who are in the midst of a dark season, a grieving season. Verse 11, it says, If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, the light about me be night. So the psalmist is picturing something here that really has nothing to do with physical light and darkness, but it has to do with how his days are. His days are like night. His heart is grieved. Even in the worst days, even in the midst of those days, the Lord is with him. Verse 12, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you. That is good news, isn't it? Our God is all-knowing, but He's also all-present. And again, this should be terrifying. There's nowhere we can go from Him. For the Christian, He calls us to go to our neighbor or our family member. It may terrify us. Or He calls us to go to the other side of the world. It may terrify us. We can take great comfort in that because He is with us. For the Christian who is walking through the shadow of death, grieving tragedy and loss in their life, perhaps of a loved one, they can take great comfort in this because the Lord is there with them. And even in the midst of darkness, there is light with Him, hope with Him. For the unbeliever that may feel that they can flee the Lord, should be attention-getting, at least. For the unbeliever, they may think, and you may have thought this at one point in your life, you could get away from God. Sometimes we think we can get away from God by coming to this building and then leaving. What do we always say? The Lord is not limited to this time or this place, right? This is why we say that, because that is the truth of God's Word. We cannot run from the Lord. For the believer who's under conviction about sin in their life, we cannot run from the Lord. So this should be comforting, but it should spur us on to obedience as well. For the unbeliever, it should spur them on to repentance and faith, because the God they are trying to flee, they will not be able to here in this life or the next. Death does not even separate us from the presence of God. So, here in the first 12 verses of this psalm, you guys with me so far? First 12 verses of the psalm, we find that the Lord is all-knowing. He knows us intimately. He is all-present. Wherever we go, He is. Wherever we run, He is. Wherever He sends us, He will be. Comfort. But that is not all. Look at verses 13 through 16. Continue to read with me. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So in the first 12 verses, we see that our Lord is all-knowing and He is everywhere. And then in verses 13 through 16, we see that this all-knowing, all-present God knows us intimately because He is the one who literally knit us together. He is the one who put us together, who designed us to be the way that we are. Verse 13, formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Verse 15, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Says it two different times. You can think of it this way, that you take a piece of cloth, and there's no square inch of a normal piece of cloth that hundreds of movements did not go into to put it together. And this is how the psalmist is reflecting of how the Lord put us together in our mother's womb. He put every piece of us together. He knows our makeup. He knows what tempts us. He knows what gives us joy and makes us happy. He made us that way and put us together that way. He knows us intimately, more intimately than we know ourselves. Verse 14, fearfully and wonderfully made. So you can think of it this way. Just as scientists are still plumbing the depths of the ocean to find out what all is there and what it's made of and why those things are there and how they survive there, scientists are still plumbing the depths of our biological makeup. And they will be until the day our Lord comes back. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and He knows all those things that they are searching for because He thought them up before He made them. He knows us intimately. He knitted us together. He knows the depths of who I am. He knows the depths of who you are. He knows what is hurting your heart right now. He knows what you are grieving over right now. He knows all of those things. And the knowledge of these things is too wonderful for us. Verse 16, he doesn't just know about us and how we're put together. He didn't just design us, but he knows other things about us. Bible's turning pages. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So he knows the days that we'll be here. He knew the day that we were going to be created in our mother's womb. He knew the day that we were going to arrive here on this earth outside of our mother's womb. He knows the day that we will leave this earth. So you can think about it like this. There is nothing he doesn't know about you. And there is nothing he doesn't know about me. There is nowhere that you or I can go apart from him. And he executively decided to create me and to create you. He executively decided how I would be created and what would make me tick and how you would be created and what would make you tick. And he executively decided when we would be placed on this earth and when we would be taken off of it. And that is true, not just for the Christian, but for every human being that has ever, is now, and will ever walk the face of this earth. But for the one who is in Jesus, who has a relationship with Jesus, he knows us intimately. And we have a relationship with a God who knows every single thing about us, who will be with us everywhere we go, and who numbered our days. We have a relationship with that God as a child does to a father. That is good news. And for the unbeliever, they stand as an enemy to that God who knows them, every part of them and everywhere they go and number their days here on this earth. They stand as an enemy before that God. But the good news is that he has offered eternal life to them and an intimate relationship with them, adoption into his family to them through Jesus Christ, his Son. And that, for the unbeliever, is good news, is it not? So the question today for all of us is, am I in Jesus? Are you in Jesus? Have you placed faith alone in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? If you have, then this psalm should be of great comfort to you. If you have not, this psalm should be great encouragement to you to turn to Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen? Because in Jesus, we have an intimate relationship with our Creator. What a privilege. What a privilege. Can you go in? We're going to speed up here. I want us to jump off of what we know about the first 16 verses in this psalm and dive into a response of what it means for us here and now. So in that relationship we have in Jesus, with our intimate relationship with our Creator that we have in Jesus, we stand in awe of our Creator and our Savior. Look at what the psalmist says in the midst of him going through these things about the Lord. Verse 6. We've already read it, but I want to read it again. He says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. This verse is praise of the Lord. It is too wonderful for me. You know it, God, but I can't even wrap my mind around it. It's too wonderful. It's too high. I cannot attain it. Verse 14. Again, as he's going through these things about who God is, verse 14, he stops and he says, I praise you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So one of the things that should happen within the heart of the Christian when we encounter these truths, the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, the fact that we have an intimate relationship with God who knows us and wove us together in our mother's womb, one of the responses of the Christian should be praise. Wonderful are your works, O God. I praise you. Verse 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Church, if we can just glance over these truths without our heart pausing, we aren't looking at these truths hard enough. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We should praise Him. He is everywhere. There is nowhere we can flee from Him. We should praise Him. He knows us, the best and worst parts of us. And He sent His Son to die for us in spite of those things. We should praise Him. We should respond the same way that the psalmist responds, I praise you. I want to read to you something out of the New Testament. Colossians 1, 16 through 20. I want to encourage you to write it down and go back and look at it. Speaking about Jesus, Paul says this, Colossians 1, verse 16, for by Him all things were created, in Him, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. So far, in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is identified as the one who created all things. He's the creator that we're speaking of in Psalm 139. Him and the Father and the Spirit. You continue reading in Colossians 1. And He is before all things, and all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be made preeminent. For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile Himself all things. So all things, including us, are brought back to God the Father by Jesus. We are reconciled to Him. Whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. So in these five verses in Colossians, what it communicates to us is this, that the Creator, who is omniscient and all-present, who wove us together intricately in our mother's womb, is also the one who died a bloody death and poured out His blood for us on the cross so that we could have a relationship with Him. So church, we should sing loudly in light of that truth. We should live obediently in light of that truth. We should raise our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and pray that they grow to know Him in light of that truth. Are you with me? So in that relationship, we stand in awe of our Creator and our Savior. Because the one who created us is the one who saves us. The one who created the unbeliever is the one who is offering salvation to the unbeliever. And finally this, in that relationship, our Creator is our help. This psalm takes a strange turn. Seems like a praise psalm, and then all of a sudden, verse 17 or verse 19, it changes completely. Verse 19, follow along in your copy of God's Word. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Notice something about what the psalmist does here. He has problems in his life. He has people who are seeking to destroy his life. He has people in his life who are completely disregard who God is. And he needs help dealing with those people. And where does he go to seek help for that? Where? God. Yeah, God is his help. In the relationship that the psalmist had with God, God was his help for problems that were happening to him in this world. But notice, those weren't his only problems. Verse 23, he turns from praying that God would take care of the wicked to praying that God would take care of the wickedness in himself. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a plead with the Creator to remove the sin from this psalmist's heart. So the psalmist is pleading that God would take care of the wickedness in the world, but then he pleads with God to take care of the wickedness within his own heart. He pleads with God to take care of the problems in his world, and then he pleads with God to take care of the problems in his own heart. We have so much in common with this psalmist. So much. Let me ask you a question. Do you have problems in this world? Do you have people that, and I don't mean this lightly, but are seeking to maybe destroy your name? Do you have circumstances in your life that you feel like you cannot bear? Whether it has to do with people or loss or grief or sickness or health problems. You have things in your life, problems of this world that are weighing down on you. Here's the good news for the Christian. The one who is in Jesus has a relationship with the Creator. And the Creator is the one who is all-knowing, all-present, and loves us intimately. And within that relationship, we can cry out to Him for help, just like the psalmist did. For our problems that we encounter in this world, we cry out to God for help. It's biblical. Help us, O God. But not only that, let me ask you another question. Do you have problems with your own heart, Christian? Doubt? Fear? Grief? Joylessness. List could go on, couldn't it? Anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred. That you are that you know are there. Some of them you don't know how deep they go, but you know they are there. The psalmist didn't name anything specific. He just said, Lord, if there's anything that displeases you, any grievous way in my heart, please. Remove it. So the good news for the Christian is this. For me and for you, we struggle in ways that other people don't see. The Lord sees it. And He doesn't just see it, but He is available to help us through it. He knows it intimately. And He cares vastly for me and for you. And the psalmist knew that and cried out for help from his Lord. In church, we can too. Praise God. If you're here and you don't know the Lord, you've yet to give your life to Him. He is trustworthy. He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. But if you stand outside of Christ today, you need to place faith in Christ. Christ today. And we would love to walk you through what that means and what that is and what that is not. My prayer for us, not just this morning, is in light of this fact that the one true God knit me and you together. He knows me and you better than we know ourselves, and there is nowhere we can flee from His presence, and He loves us deeply. So my prayer for us as a church this morning and us as individual Christians is this, that we would sing and respond in praise to that. But not only that, is that if we are in need of help today, our heart is struggling, that we would cry out to God for help and know that He will respond. And know that even the depths of our trouble, we may not know, but He knows. He knows. So for the church, I think there's two ways we respond today. Cry out for help if we need it, and sing and praise Him whether we do or don't. Respond in love to our Lord because of His love for us. For the unbeliever, the response is simple for you. To turn in faith in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Believe and turn from doing life your own way and give your life to Jesus. That's it. And be adopted into His family. Have a Creator that you can approach as your Father. However we need to respond this morning, let us follow the Holy Spirit and respond. Let's pray as Miss Carrie and Miss Christie come to lead us. Father, we love You. We thank You. We thank You for Your Word and the truth we find in Your Word. That it is always, always relevant to our lives. And You always speak if we are listening. God, we thank You for the wonderful truth that we find in the psalm that You know us intimately. Better than we know ourselves, and You sent Your Son to die in our place in spite of that. Because You love us. And God, we praise You for the fact that there is nowhere we can run to flee from Your presence. And anywhere You send us, You will be there. And God, more than anything, we praise You for the rescue that You provided for us through Your Son's perfect life, sacrificial death, and glorious resurrection. God, we pray that You would lead us to respond in song and in praise and in love in our hearts to the love You have shown us in Jesus Christ. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo, and I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.